Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. Four Horsemen status, the originals. All it took 65 episodes, but here we go. Same as it ever was. It's like a night out in Providence, fellas, and it is Saturday night. So let's get this rolling with $5 beers, the old Strand.
Are we at the Foxy or are we at Lupo's?
These stories will never end. And they just get better as the years go on, I must say. So that being said, let's pay a little homage. We got no Bradford this week. He's in Florida, baseball tournament with the boy. Chris on hiatus from vacation hangover with the family, so it's all good. They'll be back soon. Bradford sent in his tinfoil hat. We'll have that later on in the show. But first, Edwin, how do we do? What do we usually do first?
Well, we're doing the mail.
All right.
Email.
Time for,
can you dig it?
Time for some reach into the bag and ease the seat back.
The old goonguard.com bag. You know, it's right here. Check it out. You know, I mean, great mouthpieces. You know, two to the bag. Discount code of 1973. I mean, check them out. Great mouthpieces. All right. Well, so here we go. This is from Gail from Mississippi. Hello, 1973 podcast. Want to know what your thoughts are on this Ozempic weight loss craze. Someone on the cast has a sports background, I believe, hearing this. Gail, she's 56, and she's from Mississippi. So, anybody else want to take a little stabby stab at it first, or?
Well, no pun intended with the stab, right? Because it is an injection.
There we go.
When this email came in, I was like, well, it's something different. It's a little something different to talk about. Maybe a controversial subject. Brad's not on the podcast this week. He was all over this. I really would like Ed's take on this from a physical education background. It's like the new craze. It's like the new weight loss craze. What do you think, Ed?
Well, first of all, Ozempic is made for people with diabetes, and it's to regulate blood sugar, first and foremost. That's what it's really intended for. Now, if you're using it for weight loss, I mean, I will say, you know, you may want to put down your fork and knife and check out to see what you have on your plate. Now, this is just basic, you know, knowledge that you can find it in any exercise science book or anything like that. If you want to lose weight, you should eat 4 to 6 protein, carbohydrate, fat meals a day. And the macro ratio should be about 40% carbs, 30% protein, and 30% fat. And the thing is like you have to move, and you shouldn't be eating processed food. So that's that right there in itself. You know, for most normal people, your BSM, which is your basal metabolic rate, or BMR, sorry, and, you know, like for myself, is 1850. That is just to keep all your systems on in your body, like where you can actually, like, get up and move around and, like, have proper nerve function and actually have proper brain function. So the thing about it is that, you know, if you want to lose weight, Ozempic is probably not the best thing to do, because I looked at some of the research and science behind it. And the thing about it was is that you're only losing about 1 pound a week. Well, funny story. If you actually go to the gym, increase your water. For women should drink 2 liters of water a day. That does not include like Cokes or Diet Cokes or anything like that, which, you know, those aren't so healthy for you. Men should drink 3 liters of water a day to be properly hydrated. So, you know, check your diet. And one of the best ways to actually lose weight is to actually log your food. And a free app called MyFitnessPal, you can punch it in right there, and you'll have the same results. If you really want to kind of like heal your gut, check out the Whole 30 and actually do the Whole 30, where you're not eating any processed food for 30 days. You'll probably have the same type of results and none of the side effects.
And if somebody wanted to get in touch with you on social media about questions about things like that, how can they reach you?
Sure, they can hit me up on Facebook. They can hit me up in the DM up on Facebook.
And
it's Ed Sylvester. I mean, there's only a few of us out there.
Tom, any thoughts on the Ozempic craze?
It's a quick fix. And if you don't change, like Ed said, if you don't change your eating habits and you do this, chances are you're more than likely just going to put the weight back on at some point and some point soon. It's like, even when you do the gastric bypass surgery, they don't just do the surgery. You have to go and meet with a psychologist for, I think, 3 months, and they have to actually okay it and make sure you're in the right frame of mind and make sure it's, because even with that, you can put the weight right on if you don't change your thinking and your mindset. So it's all in your mindset. You have to get it in your head and you have to stick with it.
Ryan, weight loss crazes. What do you think?
What happened to the old fashioned stick your finger down your throat? I know we're born in 1973 and you can get it done more than one way, but yeah, I don't get it. Whatever. I think I'd rather be a fat fuck than take a needle every day.
This is true. Either way, if you have poor eating habits, you're going to eventually, have to, if you become diabetic or something like that. And my grandmother was always heavy. And when she got older, she eventually got diabetes. And it was the first time I ever knew anybody that had it. And it was crazy to see, how an older person in their late 60s all of a sudden, became diabetic. So, it's one of those things. That, a great question. I wish we had the full crew here to address it even more. But Ed hit the nail on the head, usually with all the weight loss stuff and the fitness stuff. So great question. If we had Dennis on the show, too, I'd like Dennis's take on that to see what he had to say. So let's move on away from the email and let's talk. One of the things we've been talking about all season finale, Dark Side of the Ring. We were talking about it before we went on the air. I had mentioned it. There's kind of a yin to the yang with the Dark Side. It's more like a biography episode than a Dark Side. I thought it wasn't robust enough. Tom, you want to add to it some of the things we were talking about?
Well, it's just, to me, I think they could have gone a lot more in depth with it, and they could have made it actually, seeing as it was the season finale, they could have done a two-parter and gone a little bit more in depth with it. And it got through a lot of stuff. I mean, I thought the most interesting stuff to me was when they talked about the Briscoes and Arn with their deal. I mean, Ole, and they did the blood thing to make their little make their deal, and then in the end Ole was really the one that broke the pact first. So, but I mean, I think they could have, and then at the end they kind of skirted through where they just kind of rushed through with, like, right at the very end talking about what's going on right now with McMahon and his downfall. I think they could have gone into more into that. But
Ryan, take on the last episode of Dark Side.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same as, like, what Tom just said. I find, like, personally, when I'm watching them, maybe it's just from being, like, a wrestling fan for so long, a lot of times I feel like the stuff that they're talking about, like, I already know it. So those are the ones that kind of really don't appeal to me, like, because they're not really blown away by what they're telling you. Like, maybe somebody that didn't know anything about it might be like, oh, shit, that was, like, a big part of, like, McMahon's plan, like, in the early days and that part of it. But it probably wasn't one of my favorite ones. I thought it was just decent, but it just kind of let you know, like, Vinny had a plan, and as much as a lot of people don't like him, he saw it through, and he took over the world with it.
Ed, thoughts on that Dark Side? I got a question for everybody before we move on from Dark Side, before we end, but go ahead, Ed, thoughts on the episode.
Well, I thought it was good. I mean, I'm going to agree with Ryan. We already knew all the things that Vince has done. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, Vince didn't become a billionaire by not having a plan. I mean, granted, dad had money, but I mean, Vince really took wrestling, worldwide. I mean, think about it. I mean, the Rock and Wrestling Connection, I mean, in Madison Square Garden with Cyndi Lauper and the whole thing with Hogan and, Mr. T and everything like that. I mean, that was just incredible. And to see all this stuff, you know, like with Ole, I mean, I never knew, you know, Ole was, I mean, I never knew he owned a sawmill, you know? And I mean, he pretty much was in wrestling, just kind of like, you know, this was his other business. And he tried to treat it like a regular business. And the stuff that Vince did over the years, I mean, it's not a surprise. I mean, look what he did for Snuka. I mean, Snuka allegedly murdered somebody and Vince made it go away. You know, like, I mean, the federal government went after Vince and essentially Vince pretty much kind of skated on that too. You know, he was kind of like the Teflon Don. So, you know, this now in the era of PC and everything like that, he's finally paying the piper. You know, the man's what, 82, 83 years old. And, you know, like he's lived his life and now you're going to punish him for stuff that he did 20, 30 years ago. I'm not saying it makes it right by any means of the imagination, but bottom line is that, you know, I wasn't really shocked about anything. And it really was kind of just, like you said, just kind of more of a kind of like an informational kind of dark side of the room than anything else.
I think it's tough for when we have Chris and Brad on, who are the younger guys on the podcast, to really grasp what wrestling was like back then. You see it in it, you know, you go back and you watch it, and it doesn't have the same effect that it did. Like for me, I remember the Black Saturday. I remember that. I remember watching it and being having a what the hell moment. What, because there was no. Other than the wrestling magazines, you had no insight into anything because it was so kayfabe. I mean, when they say kayfabe, it was total kayfabe. You didn't want to approach those guys if you saw them. They were like larger than life, not just like Hogan, but even like when you saw Big John Studd and these other guys that weren't known for being loud personalities. I remember the first time I saw Andre, I told him, I think on the podcast, I was at the Boston Garden and we were sitting right on the aisle where they came out from the locker room. And I remember looking up and seeing this guy. And I was probably, I don't know, 6, 7 years old. And I couldn't believe how big this person was. And that was always the allure to wrestling. I didn't ever live through Beatlemania or any of that stuff. But wrestling back then had this allure to it that it doesn't have now. There's so, you know, if you got money, you can go to conventions and things like that and see these guys. We didn't have any of that. You just had the chance to go once a month to whatever arena they came to and see whatever feud was going on. And you didn't know that from town to town, they were having that same match just to work towards something for a blow off at the end. You just saw that little bit every week that they fed you, and you were like hooked for the next week. And it wasn't 3 hour episodes. It was like the only one that was 2 hours was the 605 show. But everything was an hour and it was like rushed. You know, it was squash matches and hey, we're coming to the Civic Center. Hey, we're coming to Boston Garden. Hey, we're. And it was like you wanted to go because you wanted to see the Snuka Morocco thing. You wanted to see Hogan in the Sheik. You wanted to see Sergeant Slaughter in the Sheik and all that stuff. So people that didn't live through that never were hooked into that wrestling. And I think that's the chase for me is always getting back to that. How it was as a kid, and that you know, the grabbing you and bringing you in. So that's always been what I've missed about the wrestling, and I hope that it comes back. But it seems to be booming bigger than it ever has been now. So my question is, before we move on from Dark Side and talk about one other thing, Dark Side, what has been your favorite Dark Side episode of this year, Thomas?
Wow, that's a good one.
I'll go first, just
Okay.
to start it off while you guys think about it. My personal one was Sherry. I thought that was the best one. I was the most interested in. I know probably Sandman had Shock and Awe and all that stuff, but the Sherry one for me was had the best story with the son and what she sacrificed and how much as a kid she wanted to be a wrestler and probably all the stuff that was left out of the story that she probably had to do to, you know, but so Sherry is my pick. And you got a pick?
Oh man, I'm gonna go with Sandman this year. I mean, I really just there's some things I didn't know about him, and I mean, I if I mean, what was it back in what 1990, 97? 98, I think, or 96, 97, when the four of us actually went to the Waltham Armory and we saw Sandman, Taz, Sabu, I mean, the franchise, what was his name? Chris Candido. I mean, that, I mean,
and Jerry then
to
Funk.
See the documentary like behind him and the stuff that you never got to see because AEW came on at like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, on cable on Saturday nights. So I really, it was nice to see that about him. You know, I mean, again, it just kind of followed the typical script that they all follow, but I thought that was my favorite one.
Tom, do you have one?
Yeah. Mine would probably have to be Chris Adams because that was a wrestler. And that was probably, I liked that more than WWF when I was a kid. And WCW at the time I was watching that, WCW wasn't even on over here and where I live. So, I mean, and it taught me a lot of stuff I didn't really know about him. He wasn't that good of a gut person. I really learned a lot about him, and I thought that was really good. I've liked the few that they've had about the world class. I thought Terry Gordy's was pretty good too. It was pretty sad, but.
Phantom, what do you got?
I'm going with Buck. That was super entertaining, but kind of like what I said before. There was a lot of stuff sprinkled in there that I had no idea about, which was like, kind of was like blowing me away, but such a crazy life. And the thing that was cool about it too is like you said before, guy's still kicking, still alive, and he was on it to talk about it, you know, and that makes all the difference in the world. So now you're not just going off of somebody's kids talking about them, and you know you're pulling at the heartstrings. When somebody's passed away, people might not want to talk bad about them, or maybe go the total opposite. It's like, oh, they're dead, and they're not going to call me up if I say anything bad. But it's, I thought it was cool. It was funny too, so that kind of added to it.
So, do you think they've exhausted all the stories that they could do? Or, I mean, the one that they did this year that was kind of the only one that I really was gravitated to as far as, like, I want to learn about this person because I knew absolutely nothing about them was Chris Cole. That episode was probably the most educational for me because of being kind of a wrestling nerd with that stuff and kind of like to be a historian and put the territories in kind of chronological.
I've never heard of them before.
Yeah, that was the one I kind of was drawn to. But what do they do next? I mean, they've done like all the, you know, like Ed brought up the Snooker story. They did that. They did, of course, the Bruiser Brody. They did Chris Benoit. They did all these ones. What are they doing next?
I think they're trying to go like a little bit more like profile style because I think they got a lot of heat off of the plane one.
Oh yeah.
And now I think they must have so many stories that these guys could be telling that's not really about a certain person. It could just be like a culture or something along those lines, or just like wacky stories of like shit that these guys were doing back then. Not so much that it's like, he was an alcoholic. He left his wife. His kids didn't love him. And like it's all the same. The guys they're all on the road. If you did one about bands or anything like that, it'd probably be the same thing.
Right, right. So speaking of a Dark Side of the Ring story, let's talk Ric Flair in Florida, Ed, as a matter of fact. Thomas, thoughts on the Ric Flair story? Woo! At the pizza place.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, it looks like a 75-year-old former wrestler still trying to live the gimmick, and he just comes off as sad. And supposedly there's some video of it that's supposed to be coming out. So it's not gonna, from what I've heard, it doesn't make him look too good. I haven't seen the video yet, but it's sad. I mean, and the sad thing is he'd like just came out a couple days ago and said that he had actually had a heart attack during his last match that he had. What was that, like 2 years ago? And he said that he just found out recently when he went to go see his doctor that he had had a heart attack during that match. So, I mean, it's just full of sadness. And hopefully, I mean, somebody can, once all this stuff comes out, because he hasn't been getting any good press, hopefully he kind of wakes up a little bit. But
Ed, you want to weigh in on a Nature Boy?
Well, first off, it's sad. You know, I mean, you know, I saw the video and he's like, you know, I came in here, spent a lot of money, and I'm trying to get this place over. It just sounds like, you know, like he's just trying to hang on. And it's like, man, like, look, it's time for you to ride off into the sunset, man. Like, we all love you, but you're making yourself look really bad, and it's kind of sad, you know. And, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, plus, I mean, if I am correct, I mean, he was in Gainesville, and yep. In Gainesville, I mean, like, the thing about it is like, they're used to drunk people, you know. They're just not used to a drunk 75-year-old, you know, former professional wrestler that, you know, really, I mean, he was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up, but he just needs to knock it off.
We all love the Nature Boy, but it's tough watching the end. I think you should, for me, I think he should be a lot more humble than what he actually is. But want to weigh in on that one there, Branko?
Yeah, I guess you can't teach old dog new tricks. So it's I think he's definitely going out his way, and he's lived his life that way. I think it's a little bit more embarrassing when you are an older gentleman like he is, as he was probably like that his whole life, and he does not give a fuck. and it is what it is. It's like, as much as I hate to see it, I can almost kind of appreciate it. He's in a point of his life where it's like, the guy was on his deathbed because of alcohol abuse and all that, and the tough road. And he's like, what am I going to do? Sit around my house and then just grow old? Like, fuck it. Just kind of like, he's going out guns blazing. And I can almost kind of appreciate it a little bit. Like, be ripped till the day you die. And then after he dies, everybody's going to forget all this shit, and it's going to go back to woo and, you know, style and profiling. So do you, Rick?
my takeaway from this is that this was the thing that made me laugh. So I watched the video, and so he says to the bartender or whoever the manager is that he's talking to, he says, do you want to go outside and talk about this like men? There's a guy in the restaurant.
Yes, yes.
There's a guy in the restaurant.
I'll fight you.
That's a patron that must go there regularly. And so the bartender or the manager says, oh, I'm not going to go outside, sir. Real polite. So one of the guys at the bar goes, I'll go outside with you right now. He goes, what did you say to me? Like, trying to backpedal. And he's like, yeah, I'll go outside with you right now. He's like, what did you say to me? It was the funniest thing ever.
Is there any honor in beating up Ric Flair at 75 years old?
and then the waitress that got the $1,000 tip from him is the one that's trying to defuse it. Like, she don't want him to get his ass kicked outside. She wants her $1,000.
No, she tells him, write down $1,000 for the tip. He's like, she's like, you write down $1,000 for the tip because I'm keeping this shit.
Yep. It's the best. Yeah, so we'll move on from the wrestling and get into one of our regular segments. We missed you last week there, Professor. It's time to man up and bring it back. Let's go. And little did you know, we had Scotty on last week, and he did the lead into it.
Well, I was intending on taking a two-week hiatus, and it went so poorly last week that I was brought back in. I was whisked back home.
You had to
cut the cord on your video.
So all right. Away.
This week's Tom Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. The brewery is home to a banquet hall, an on-site restaurant, and a members-only lounge. Everything they brew is done in-house, including their sours, their lagers, and their vodka sodas. They've got something for everyone. So if you're in the Whitby area, check them out and tell them the 73 podcast sent you. All right. This week, I'm going to give you two picks because I wasn't here last week. But I'm going to go with a pitcher and a hitter. My pitcher, I'm going to go with Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He's got two starts this week, one against the Marlins and one against the San Francisco Giants. I think he's been pitching pretty well. I think he's going to lights out against those guys. Neither team is hit a bunch of hitters, so going to go with Yoshinobu. And for my hitter, I'm going to go with Yordan Alvarez from the Astros. He's starting to heat up a little bit with the power. He's got 8 home runs. He's got a full week of games, 7 games this week, 4 against Oakland against their pitiful pitching staff, and 3 against Milwaukee. And he's going to miss Milwaukee's best pitcher. So I think he's going to hit at least 2 or 3 dingers this week. So back to you, AC.
So let's get into it. We're segueing into it. We know people on hiding this week from the podcast. The man that has the Leafs and the Bruins logo in back of him, he's mysteriously not here to take a little jab. Well, who do we start with? Do us, Ed, why don't you kick off the next round of the NHL playoffs? But before we do that, Thomas, who is in the lead with picks?
I believe you are.
Might not be an NFL guy. Definitely an NHL guy.
We're all close. I think we've all got the same amount of losses, but you've picked more of the exact games. So
good, good. I like that. I like so that. Far. It's about time the worm turns a little bit.
Attention to detail.
Eye for detail. Ed, what series do you want to start with first? I'll let you pick, Ed.
Let's just start with the one that's at home first.
Let's get the elephant in the room out of the way.
My home and your home.
That's right. So let's finish off that Bruins-Toronto series. We didn't talk about that. It ended. Let's get over that hump. Let's talk about what a mess Toronto is. Thoughts, Ryan, on the Maple Leafs at the end of that series and how it's gone?
Well, I think, like, what's up with Shanny? Like, Shanny's like, he's the puppet master. They've gone through plenty of coaches. They got the same core four, but they put a lot of pieces in there. It's not like they're just sitting on their hands. They've made moves. Coaches are gone. Like, he's got to be next. Like, something big has got to happen there. I'm assuming it's going to be Marner. Marner's probably going to be the one to go. But, like, can you swap Marner for a true number one defenseman? I don't know. I think that's kind of what they need. The goaltending, I mean, I don't really think it was, like, really a goaltending issue. But, you know, you got a Shesterkin back there, like what the Rangers got going on right now. It could make all the difference in the world. I think Tavares got to go. He's overpaid. He's at the end of his deal. So it's like you can't really expect him to be putting up the numbers that he put up when he first signed. But I'm keeping Matthews. I'm keeping Willie, even though it was kind of like when they weren't playing. Now you start. The thing that sucks is like they're in that mecca of hockey with the big media, and you got those guys not playing, and they can't tell the fans like why they're out. They always got that upper body thing and all that, but they're like making their own players look like shit because now people are like, Willie's not playing because he's got a headache. Like, don't be just throwing out like, we think he's got like migraines. Like, then they're showing him at practice buzzing around and he's like, you know, he's smiling and all that. And I mean, you got migraines, it doesn't mean you can't crack a smile for the day, but it's just a bad look on the team. Like, it's making them look like they lack toughness or like where everybody else is playing through stuff.
I think the wall thing was pretty unique too, because he came in and he had a really good, you know, those 2 games, he bailed them out. Huge. He was looking good. And the thing about him is you can always tell, like, he was in there with no pressure whatsoever. He was making saves. And when he was talking to the referees, he seemed like he was always smiling, having the, actually having
time of his life.
Yeah. And, whatever happened in between that Game 6 and Game 7, where he supposedly, I don't know what happened to him, got hurt, got sick, whatever. And then
I guess they said it was his back. So he hurt his back. But it's like, did he stiffen up after the game? He played the whole game.
Drink some water. Stay off the Ozempic, for Christ's sakes. Look at that. So, Tom, thoughts on the end of that series? Because that's the one that everybody was talking about after it was done. Nobody was talking about any of the other fallouts from any of the other series. They were talking about the Islanders, talking about the Caps. That was the only series that seemed to get the most press of the team that was eliminated. What thoughts on that? Because We know you love Toronto.
They are the Boston Red Sox of the hockey. They just can't. They're in their own heads now. They can't beat the Red Sox. Couldn't beat the Yankees. They can't beat the Bruins right now. And I mean, eventually it's going to happen. But before that happens, I think I totally agree with Branko. They have to get rid of Shanahan. He's just, you can't. You've gotten rid of how many coaches now? You let Hyman go. Look at him. What did he have? 50 something goals this year. He's got like 6 or 7 goals in the playoffs. So I mean, he could have been a guy that would have helped them this year. It's just they've got to get a coach that can. And the rumor is Berube.
Yeah.
Get the job. So I mean, I think he'll help. He'll toughen them up. But they've got to mentally right now. They're just shot. They just. Well, had all the confidence in the world until they, as soon as they seemed like even just right off the start in game one, as soon as they got down, you could see it. They're like gripping the sticks a little bit harder. No, the passes were going in each other's feet. Nothing was clean.
Yeah. Don't forget last year when they got eliminated, they fired the GM. Remember? He was the scapegoat last year. Yeah. So it always seems like if there is a problem with the players, they're always the last ones to be addressed. It's always the front office that takes the hit, or this year, Sheldon Keefe, the coach. I don't know. It seems that there's more stuff going on with that team than what they're actually have on the surface. And maybe the media knows certain things and they just can't, you know, kind of let it out. But I don't know. Ed, thoughts on
that? I think just being under that media scrutiny too, it's everything's times 100, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
well, Ed, no, I mean, the thing about it is that team is built for the regular season. That team is not built for the playoffs. Bottom line is that, think about this. Just look, think about this stat. Average hits during an NHL game during the 82 game season, 41 hits a game, right? The average hits now that are going on in the playoffs, 82.
Yeah.
So think about that. So the thing about it is that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the defenses during the regular season are played are differently. There's more space out on the ice, everything like that. Now, all of a sudden, you get to the playoffs, you get to the tournament, right? All of a sudden, these coaches, they switch defenses now. You know, they're playing – everybody's playing that neutral zone trap that the Devils used to play back in the day, that they all play it. That's how they win. So the thing about it is that, so of course that the you know, the offensive guys that are used to having space, they're not going to have space anymore. And that's exactly what happened to that team. They're used to playing with space. They're not used to playing with body on body.
Hey, don't forget too. Swayman was playing that out of his ass. 95 save percentage. So, and that thing went 7 games. He just plays normal. Leafs win, there's not even a conversation. And now the conversation's like, oh, Keefe's got him playing right. So it's such a result-driven opinions. Maybe they don't really even need that much. It's just sometimes a little bit of luck comes into it. You run into a hot goalie, is what it is. You're out.
Well, I mean, look at back in the day with Patrick Roy. I mean, he was a hot goalie as a rookie, right?
Yes, yeah.
He didn't even the thing about Rawad that year that a lot of people forget, or you don't even know that he didn't play a regular season game that year, that they brought him up right before the playoff run and he just rolled. And then the next year he was officially a rookie. So that was his, you know, his entry level NHL run was the playoffs. So Ed, being in Florida, thoughts on the way the Bruins Panthers series is going right now? Here's your chance.
Man, I think it's going exactly the way that we all talked about how it was going to go. I mean, the thing about it is that, you know, the Florida is hungry and they want to win. And in my opinion, they are just really outplaying the Bruins. They're out hitting them. They're out hustling them, you know, especially with 2 games that they've had. And, you know, one thing I will say, with Pasta is to get out there and throw down. Man, that took a lot. And also with him, he's one of the few guys in the NHL that his stats really don't go down very much in the playoffs. He doesn't take that much of a downtick. The only other person that pretty much as good as him is Connor McDavid.
Thomas, I got to get your thoughts on Bruins Nation, and here's your chance to weigh in. What do you see that is working against the Bruins? Is Florida really the better team, or do you think Boston?
I think they are a better team overall. I think the big difference right now that I see is in their head coach doesn't seem like Montgomery can make the in-game changes or that need to happen during the game. I mean, you see, I love Maurice as a coach. I've always liked him. And you can see he's just always, I mean, they're both over even keel, but he makes the changes that need to be made. And you could see it just between the first and the second game that they started putting somebody in front of Swayman because he's playing so out of his mind that you have to, the way you're going to beat him to start off with anyway, is to get a few tip-ins, and the Bruins just aren't clearing out the front of the net right now. And they're just a better team. But having said that, the Bruins have played like crap the last game and probably a half. And they're only down one game. So this next game's key. But if Marchand's out with a concussion, I mean, that's going to be a big loss for them. But
yeah, from Bennett, too. Bennett came back and gave him it. It's like he started coming and it wasn't happening. I mean,
if you watch that video, he like sneaky uppercutted him with the right hand on the back side. Mm-hmm. So he might even like, they were saying like it was his shoulder. He might like just like half knocked him out.
Yeah.
The guy that I love on the Panthers, and I loved him last year, and he is such a playoff guy, is Monitor. I mean, he is going to be a free agent on July 1st. And man, if what a value that guy brings. He's not ever mentioned in that top echelon of the, you know, Tkachuk and now, of course, Reinhardt this year and, you know, even Ekblad and Bob and all those guys. But man, if I could steal one guy off that team for defense, it'd be him. I still think he's probably, for me, watching, he is one of the best defense, and he had a rocket in that last game that you know, I don't know if Swayman was screened or not, but that thing was moving. And then, you know, you're waiting for other guys to heat up too. I mean, Reinhardt hasn't really done much. Bennett just came back. They're not plagued with injuries at all. Do you think the Bruins are playing banged up, Tom? Do you think there's a lot of things going on?
I think everybody's playing banged up at this point. But, I mean, I can't use that as an excuse. But I think the unsung hero for Florida is their defenseman, Gustav Forslund. I mean, he was like a plus 56 on the season. He's like a plus 6, I think, during the playoffs. And they basically put him out there just shadowing Pasternak, and he's done a good job with Pasta so far. I mean, I think to me, he's been the unsung hero. But the Bruins are playing Florida. Coming into the playoffs, when we did our predictions, I said Florida had to stay out of the penalty box. The series they have, I mean, and the Bruins have been in the penalty box. I think Florida's got 5 power play goals already, so the Bruins have to stay out of the penalty box.
Let's shift gears and talk Rangers. What a juggernaut. 7-0 to start the playoffs. As we're talking right now on Saturday, they're playing. Chance to eliminate. There's only been a handful of teams that have started off the playoffs 7-0. And it's all usual suspects when you go back and look at the teams. And most of those teams that started off 7-0 ended up winning the Stanley Cup. So a little stat there. Well, you know, I'm Peter Laviolette guy, always really good playoff driven teams. You know, he's gone to the playoffs and been successful with multiple different teams. And I always thought that he knows, another good guy like Paul Maurice knows how to manage players in the playoffs. I mean, it's almost like he lets them play during the regular season, and then he sinks in and really dives into manipulating that chemistry during the playoffs. Thoughts on the Rangers, Ryan?
Yeah, it's they're on a heater, but if you've been watching the games, it's like Carolina's like outplaying them. Shesterkin's like unbelievable right now. He is, and it's like you look at Carolina. I think they had at one point, if not worse now with today's game, I haven't really caught up on that, but they're like 0-15 on the power play. They had the second best power play in the league this year. So that's like your special teams, your secondary scoring is huge come playoff time, and they're carrying the play. I mean, I feel like a lot of their shots is like coming from like the perimeter, so they're not really like bringing it like into the house. But to be down 0-3, it's kind of unbelievable. They don't deserve that. They're too good for it. I think they just lack that. Aho's really good. They don't have that superstar. Like it's like he's like a A2 kind of a star, but they don't have that big name guy. They don't have the Panarins. They don't have the guys that the Rangers have. Rangers is just unbelievable. They're just like, is there a like more fun team to watch? I mean, I know you're not a big Rangers guy, but they're a good time. If you want to watch a game, watch a Rangers game, man. They get a little bit of everything.
Ed, thoughts on that Rangers team this year?
Well, I mean, they seem like they get out there, they skate, they're physical, they move the puck really well. And, you know, I agree with Ryan. I mean, I've been watching a lot of that series, and it just seems to me that, you know, Carolina really is playing really well. It just seems like the Rangers pretty much just – the puck just seems to find the back of the net, and with Carolina, it doesn't.
Thomas, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yep.
If Carolina gets eliminated – does Rod Brindamore get fired?
I don't think so. I don't think not this year, but they've got to make a change in that. They've got to pick up a goalie. That's been their weakness the last few seasons. Freddie Anderson's given up 8 goals and going into this game on 62 shots. I mean, that's like an .850 save percentage. They went back to him in tonight's game. Right now they're winning. Carolina's winning 3-2, but it's just the Rangers are a friggin' train right now. I mean, they've got so much balance right now in this, just in the series alone with their scoring. And like I said, going into the playoffs, Shesterkin, they gave him just enough rest with Quick was playing great during the season where Shesterkin didn't have to play as much. So he's well rested and he's hitting his stride right now at the perfect time.
So if you're coaching the Bruins, you ride Swayman until the end.
They wouldn't have won that Toronto series if it wasn't for Swayman. So And to be honest with you, Swayman, I think during the offseason, they'll probably end up trading Nellmark to try to help out the team in another way. But you can't have that much money either guy because Swayman's going to get paid. So either guy, you're going to have too much money sitting on the bench and it's too much money. And they're so tight up against the salary cap, they have to make it. That's the only way they're going to add anyone.
Let's talk West Coast. Let's go Western Conference. Let's talk. I was able to watch the Dallas-Vegas Game 7. Those fans were rocking in that. That's the most I've seen the Dallas fans engaged in a game. And, you know, they eliminate Vegas. I know Vegas came in as a low seed, but, you know, Brad predicted that the Dallas Stars are going to win the Stanley Cup, so we'll keep an eye on that one. But that's a bold prediction from a hockey guy. So we'll keep an eye on that. But thoughts on you know the McDavid saga, where the first game he didn't get any shots on net at all. I mean, Edmonton's kind of under that Toronto microscope a little bit too. What do you think, Tom, about the way the West Coast is playing out?
It's a common theme for me. It's goaltending. I mean, Vancouver, they're winning right now with their third string guy. If Demko comes back, I didn't think they'd go far in the playoffs. But if Demko comes back, I mean, they're going to have all the confidence in the world. And Edmonton, they can score 3 or 4 goals a game. It's just a matter of whether or not Skinner is going to stop enough pucks for them to win.
Yeah, I still think Colorado's heavy. I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I mean, that's whoever it is. I still think the Rangers are going to win the whole thing out of everybody. I still think that if Florida ends up playing the Rangers, that's going to be a very fun series to watch. It's going to be, you know, maybe Trouba will get a piece of somebody and maybe it'll cause a melee. Who knows? Shesterkin versus Bob. That'd be pretty cool too. So Ryan, thoughts on the Western Conference?
Yeah. Where's Ottinger? I thought he was going to be the difference maker for Dallas. And it's like, all right, they snuck by first round, but like Yeah, I don't like, you don't expect that from some of these secondary goalies, but he's like the only big name guy, and like he's been playing rough. And as far as I'm concerned, they've got a pretty balanced team as well. So you kind of figure that they can go with anybody, but if they don't have him, they're done.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. I mean, he's a big part, a major part of their success. And Ed, what do you think? Want to weigh in on the Western Conference?
Yeah, my biggest thing is that with the Edmonton series, I mean, they've been rolling that first line over and over again. I mean, those guys are getting close to skating probably about 30 minutes a game, and the deeper you go in the playoffs and that type of thing, that gets a little bit tough. I did pick Dallas versus the Rangers for the Stanley Cup final. Colorado is still the machine, man. They skate and they just play hard. So I think that series is going to be a really exciting series. And you know, the only problem is that those games run so damn late.
Yeah.
Don't forget Leon Draisaitl's hurt too. He's kind of he's not himself right now. He's dragging his ass out there.
Yeah. So tomorrow night, Bruins, one more game at home. Thomas, I'm gonna just ask you this one question. Are they tying it up or are they going down?
I think I didn't think they were gonna beat Toronto, so I'm gonna say they're gonna go down. I lost my card carrying membership for Bruins Nation with that pick.
We're trying to draw ratings. Maybe Chris will troll on the comments and hits you up like, "Well, I can't believe you said that." So
is there any truth to the rumor that Chris is out shopping for shavers right now and next week it's coming off?
Lady Bix for everybody.
Woo! Clean it up, kid. Clean it up.
So right now I'm gonna we'll move on from the hockey. I'm gonna probably drop in the tinfoil hat somewhere like around here. Tom will have to put on his, there it is, tinfoil hat. So we're gonna wind this episode down until the aluminum can hat. Tom, you want to talk about our friends at Purchase Street?
Sure. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, which is located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass. You can also visit them online at purchasestrecords.com or on their Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
So it's time to do what we do. End of the episode. It's time for some shout outs. I'm going to start off. I'm going to wish the professor a very happy birthday this week. Birthday was yesterday. We got to recognize. You all better recognize. The big, yep. Throw it up there.
Have to get old.
That's what we do. That's all we got.
Half this room is just a little younger.
And I would say something else, but I don't want to get canceled.
And a little bit longer.
Rolodex of comedy is going in the head, but I cannot say what I want to say. But
HL's watching.
Everybody's watching. Don't let the views fool you. I see the analytics. There's a lot of people that watch, but it doesn't always count on the views. A lot of trolling. A lot of mystery behind the scenes with a lot of these people watching. I know. We know who you are. I see.
If you don't like me, fuck you. Still click like.
That's a thumb up and a thumb in. So, yeah, I just want to say from your boys, this is your crew. Happy birthday, Thomas.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So, Ed, what do you got?
I got two things. Thomas, for the third time, happy birthday, brother. Happy birthday. 5-1, huh? 51 trips around the old sun.
You know? And you don't want to say hello to all the guys down at work?
No, I'm not going to do that.
He hasn't met them all yet.
I do have one other thing. One of my former athletes today, I only coached her for a very short amount of time, but she was the first female to cross the 70.3 Gulf Coast today in 4 hours and 27 minutes. So really proud of Samantha.
Neil. Professor, what do you got on the birthday weekend?
Well, I got two things. First, I want to send my condolences to a friend of Kelly and mine, a former teacher friend of Kelly's. He lives in Oklahoma now. Mark Bell, his mom passed away 2 days ago. So thinking about you, Mark. And second, I want to thank everyone for all the birthday wishes. And for the people who didn't send me anything, fuck you.
Very good. I love it. It's all part of the long storytelling heel turn, like the bloodline.
Get off my lawn, huh, Tom?
Yes.
So we're gonna close this episode with the Phantom. You have the floor.
Ooh, thank you. I'll start out my son Dylan, big fan of the pod. He just finished finals week, sophomore year of college. So he's grinding, got through it, and he's gonna enjoy his summer and be back for junior year. Two more years to go, kid. Doing a great job. Proud of you.
So how much more positivity can we end with? So we're going to end on that note. From my family to your family to everybody's family, we'll see you next time for episode 66.
See ya.
Later.